It's usually not a good sign, right? And I remember one time I got called in by this family because they were very worried about their mother. Their mother was elderly, and they were very concerned because she was living in an apartment building, and just down the hall from her was a young woman who had befriended her, and she was taking her to the grocery store, and she was spending time with her, and they were very concerned that this woman might be trying to take advantage of her. Now, I am not trying to diminish, because I know that vulnerable people, elderly people, are sometimes preyed upon. But there was no reason to think that in this instance, necessarily, but the kids were just beside themselves. So we met with Mom, and I just had no clue what I was going to say about it. The woman down the hall seemed like a very lovely young woman. And finally, the mom said, she did it for me, she said, "I thought I raised you better than this. You should know that God's love comes from people we don't always expect and at times we can't always predict. And that's what this woman is in my life." I was like, well, okay, my work here is done, right? Now, to be honest, the kids continued to worry and knitter about this woman down the hallway, but she was a lovely woman who made a beautiful friendship with this other woman. And it's true, isn't it? People come into our lives at times we can't necessarily expect, and God's grace shows up to us in people we wouldn't necessarily predict, because that's how God works. We see that today in our story with Naomi and Ruth. This book of Ruth is a well-loved book of the Bible. Ruth is the one who always gets the credit for this book. She kind of gets to claim this righteousness because she stays with Naomi. But the story is much bigger than just Ruth. And I have to tell you some of these things. It's a beautiful story in Hebrew, actually, when you know the Hebrew, because there's all these pieces of it that make it so deep. So it starts with, in the time that the judges ruled, right? We don't really know what that means. But what that means is that there was chaos. Because at the time when the judges ruled, people were just doing whatever they wanted to do, and then the judge would come in and mediate it. There were kind of no laws to the land. It was just always an ad hoc thing going on. So there was complete chaos in the land. And that's how this story starts. And then it moves on from there. Then, in the middle of the chaos, there's also a famine. By the way, the famine is in the town of Bethlehem, which we'll meet later, of course, with Jesus. But that term, Bethlehem, in Hebrew, that means house of bread. So again, in Hebrew, here we are. There's a famine in the house of bread. How bad can it get? And so Naomi and her husband Elimelech go off to the country of Moab, which probably means nothing to us. But to the hearers of the story, it would have been cringeworthy. Because the Israelites and the Moabites did not get along. They were constantly in kind of feuds with one another. The Israelites saw the Moabites as kind of dirty and low because they came from these different lineages. So the Israelites came from Abraham. The Moabites were descendants of Lot. Lot was a cousin of Abraham, but you might know Lot from the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? So Sodom and Gomorrah, this story never gets told on Sunday morning, so here's the, like, real people of the Bible. So Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed, and Lot's daughters had taken refuge in a tent up on the hill. And when Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed, they think, oh no, the only people left in the world are us and our dad. How are we ever going to have a nation if it's just us and our dad? So they trick their dad into sleeping with them, so that they'll have babies, which he does, right? And these are the Moabites. So the Moabites were known as incestuous and unclean to the people of Israel. And yet here are Naomi and Elimelech and her sons having to go off to Moab because that's where the food is. Things are not so great in their lives. Then they get there. Their two sons marry Moabite women. It all must be okay. They seem to be doing all right until Elimelech dies, her husband, and then her two sons die, which again, if you know Hebrew, would be no big surprise because their names in Hebrew translate as sickness and consumption, right? Like, this is a tale from top to bottom. So they go off, they die, and then Naomi is going to go back to Judah. Things are better there. And says to her daughters-in-law, you know what? Go. Go find other husbands. There was a rule at the time that if somebody's, if your husband died, the brother had to marry you. So they would have been taken care of. But she had no other sons. So she's like, go. Go find someone who will take care of you. And Orpah does go off. But Ruth stays. Ruth says, nope, I'm staying with you. I'm going back to Judah with you. Not something Naomi would have expected, and not from someone she would have expected. And I also always wonder, you know, we think Naomi would have been like, oh, Ruth, she's so sweet. Was there a part of her that was like, really, Ruth? Come on, now I gotta take you back to Judah with me and explain why I got a Moabite with me? Right? There might have been a part of Naomi that was like, please, go find a husband. But she didn't either. And these two women form a relationship that should not have been for the time and the place. And that's the way God is. God surprises us with God's grace. God brings people into our lives. And if we have open hearts and open lives, we don't know what will happen. This story goes on, and they go back to Judah. Ruth ends up marrying a man named Boaz and ends up in the genealogy of Jesus. She is one of the only three women in the genealogy of Jesus because she went back with Naomi. We don't know what God's grace is going to do through the relationships that we have. And we don't know where it will show up. Are we open to the unexpected? Because God's grace is surprising, just like in this story, and unexpected from people we can't predict. I don't know how many of you have ever read the book or seen the movie, it's old now, Dead Man Walking. But that is one of the movies I think I cried more than ever in my life at. It's about a man who's on death row and a nun, his sister Helen Prejean, who walks with him to his death on death row. And it's also a book. And I recently heard Sister Helen Prejean interviewed. She has a new book out. She still lives down in Louisiana. She's still being a nun and working with people on death row there. And she talked about sneaky Jesus in this interview. She said, you gotta be careful because Jesus is really sneaky. And grace always comes up from underneath. And you don't know where it's gonna come from. And she talks about her relationship with this man on death row. She said, all it started as was being a pen pal. She agreed with somebody she met on the street that she'd be a pen pal with this guy on death row. Fast forward a couple of years, she's his spiritual advisor and with him at the time of his death. And then she said, you know, we count people out. We always think we know how grace works and where holiness is going to happen, but we don't. And she talks about how on that day of Pat, his name was Pat Patrick's death, she was with him. And she said, I was supposed to be there to bring him grace. But the whole time I walked with him through his death, he kept saying to me, Sister Helen, are you okay? Sister Helen, I'm going to pray for you. Sister Helen, you shouldn't have to be here and see this. Sister Helen, I love you. Thank you. Here was a man who had done an abominable thing, and there's never a question of that. He committed the crime. And yet here is a man who is bringing grace and love to a nun, a professional lover of people. He is the one bringing her the grace. We should never count anyone out because God's grace can work through all people. And we never know when or how it's going to happen. But we have to keep our hearts open, right? I think too often we get stuck in thinking we know how it should be. We know who should be holy. We know who should be loving and showing grace. And so we kind of short-circuit grace in some way, right? Jesus came and experienced this all of the time. He came in and he said, you know what? You think only the men in the temple are holy. But I'm here to tell you that widow with her mite, the widow's mite, she's holy. And I'm husband died 18 months later, she found herself pregnant with the child of another man whom she had fallen in love with. But she said she spent 18 months, her whole pregnancy, she said, she tried to hide it. She tried to hide it because she was embarrassed, because that's not how it was supposed to happen. Her husband had just died, and she knew people would talk. And we can say, oh, people wouldn't talk. Oh, yeah, you know people wouldn't talk, right? She was right, right? And she was so scared and nervous because this wasn't how it was supposed to be. And she ended up marrying this man. She's married to him now, and they have another son together. But she said, it took me months after my second son was born to really enjoy him. And I realized I wasted all of those months of pregnancy, which should be filled with joy and wonder, scared and worried about what everybody else would think, because this isn't how it was supposed to work. We all think we know how it's supposed to work, don't we? And often we're wrong and too narrow-minded. Because what Jesus is clear with us about is love. And love that is good and caring and compassionate and kind and self-giving. And how that happens can be in so many different ways and from so many different people. So don't short-circuit grace. Keep your life open. You don't know when, you don't know how, and it might seem like for Naomi, it happened with Naomi, the bottom had dropped out and it can't get any worse. Yet God will bring grace into your life. That is what God promises us. I don't know through whom, and I don't know how, but I know that if you keep your heart open, it will happen. Grace is surprising. Jesus is sneaky. But the love that he brings into your life, if you can let go of some of the control, is always beautiful. I have here, not just for the kids today, because I want to put more hearts on that wall. I made hearts, so if you, what I'd love if you did is if you could think of someone in your life who has loved you, and maybe to your surprise, someone who has loved you and you weren't expecting it, if you would like to think about them, put their name on a heart, and we will add them to the wall in the back. So please feel free to do that now as we sing.